Good evening, dear ones, or good morning, depending on where you are listening and joining in our service. Welcome to our Friday evening worship time. Welcome to those joining us on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you all with us on this 30th day of March 2018. What a precious time it is to leave all our cares and worries and perplexities behind and be able to come and join with others of like faith in worshiping and praising our God in spirit and in truth. Sabbath is indeed a very special time. Our opening song is He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Christ hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, His own hand, He leadeth me.
Lord, I would clasp my hand in thine, nor ever murmur or repine. Content whate'er lot I see, since 'tis Your hand that leadeth. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand.
And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since Thou in triumph leadest me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. What a precious Savior that cares enough for us to personally take our hand in His own and lead and guide us upward to eternal life. Thank You, dear Savior. And please lead each one of us in the way everlasting. It's now time for opening prayer, and would a dear brother or sister like to open with prayer for our meeting tonight?
Shall we bow our heads? Maybe our knees too. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for this past week. Though for some of us it's been wet, and maybe some of it's been cold. I don't know. A little chilly here, but we thank you that the week is ended and we've accomplished a few things. Now we ask your presence to be with us during this meeting. There are going to be requests made for prayer for one thing and another. We ask you to pay attention to those and answer them according to your will. Bless out of the group that's here and those who can't come, those that might be on the phone, and prepare us for the meeting to follow, and for tomorrow. And this way I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and thank you, dear brother. We're continuing in Patriarchs and Prophets. This is chapter 44, titled Crossing the Jordan. And we're about halfway down on page 482 to the paragraph that begins, "The Israelites were encamped." And the last thing that we were discussing was that instruction was given to the children of Israel that they were to follow Joshua as they had followed Moses. And God tried to encourage Joshua to be very courageous and zealous to do the Lord's will and to follow his word. And as long as he did so, then God would be with him and would bless him and would protect the children of Israel, would lead and guide them, defeat all their enemies, and everything would work out for their best welfare. And so we could understand that God's promises are based on condition of obedience. And so in order to have God fulfill his promise to protect you, to lead you, to guide you, to bless you, that's on condition of your faithfulness to God. And so that was made very plain to Joshua, and he in turn made it very plain to the people. And it's the very same condition of prosperity and blessings today. And may we never forget that. So that's where we left off before, and now we pick it up at this paragraph. The Israelites were still encamped on the east side of Jordan, which presented the first barrier to the occupation of Canaan. "Arise," had been the first message of God to Joshua. "Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them." No instruction was given as to the way in which they were to make the passage. Joshua knew, however, that whatever God should command, he would make a way for his people to perform. And in this faith, the intrepid leader at once began his arrangements for an advance. So God told Joshua to go forward, cross over the Jordan, and enter into the promised land. But God didn't tell him exactly how to do it. He just told him to do it. So Joshua had to manifest faith that whatever God commanded, he would allow to be performed. He would work a way in which it could be accomplished. He would give the grace and the strength and perform the miracles for the completion of his command. Is it any different today? God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has given us his Ten Commandments. What God commands, we are to move forward in faith and obey and relying upon God to give us the grace and the strength to perform that command. So just as it was with the children of Israel, it's the same today. What God commands, he gives us the grace and strength to enable us to obey. So don't let the devil come in and tempt you to believe that it's impossible for you to keep the Sabbath holy, or it's impossible for you to worship only the Lord God, or to overcome your sins or shortcomings or failures. Because nothing is impossible with and through God. It was the same with the Jordan River. Now, there wasn't just healthy and strong Israelites in this 2 to 6 million people. There was old people as well. There was very young individuals. And yet every single one of them had to cross the Jordan in order to enter into the promised land. So regardless of your age, regardless of your physical abilities, God can give you the grace and the strength to obey his command at any time. All you have to do is move forward in faith.
A few miles beyond the river, just opposite the place where the Israelites were encamped, was the large and strongly fortified city of Jericho. This city was virtually the key to the whole country, and it would present a formidable obstacle to the success of Israel. Joshua, therefore, sent two young men as spies to visit this city and ascertain something its population, its resources, and the strength of its fortifications. The inhabitants of the city, terrified and suspicious, were constantly on the alert. At the
messengers were 2 miles beyond the river, just opposite the place where the Israelites were encamped, was a large and strongly fortified city of Jericho. This city was virtually the key to the whole country, and it would present a formidable obstacle to the success of Israel. Joshua, therefore, sent two young men as spies to visit this city and ascertain something as to its population, its resources, and the strength of its fortifications. The inhabitants of the city, terrified and suspicious, were constantly on the alert, and the messengers were in great danger. They were, however, preserved by Rahab, a woman of Jericho, at the peril of her own life. In return for her kindness, they gave her a promise of protection when the city should be taken.
Now, it's interesting here. God said, go forward. And Joshua made preparations to obey, but he didn't immediately obey. He wanted everything to be done decently and in order. So he sent two spies out, didn't send a whole bunch because that would have been too obvious what was going on. sent two spies to Jericho. They were to survey the land. They were to get into the city. They were to look at all the fortifications and what would be the best way to get into the city, if there was any weaknesses, all of that they were to spy out and then return. And they noticed that the individuals of Jericho knew about the Israelites. They knew that they were camped there just beyond the Jordan, and they were heading directly towards the city. And so they were on the alert for spies. And so here these two Israelites walked into the city. They probably were recognized as Israelites, and thus word spread to the sheriffs and to the magistrates and perhaps even to the king, and then word was sent out to find them. And so they happened to come across Rahab, and Rahab was a harlot. That was her profession. And she recognized they were Israelites, recognized the mission that they were on, so she wasn't dumb. She was very discerning. And she said, I'll hide you, but you have to promise that when you come to take the city, that you will spare my life and the life of my family. And they agreed. Now, we'll find out a little more about Rahab a little bit later. But then we come to the next paragraph. And who would like to read that?
Okay. Can you all hear me? I'm on my phone today. That's a bit unusual. Thank you. Praise the Lord. The spies returned in safety with the tidings, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. It had been declared to them in Jericho, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Praise the Lord. Here's the heathen praising the Lord for the works on behalf of fallen man.
Amen. Amen. So you can understand that the miracles that God did for his people were not just for the benefit or for the protection of his people alone, but they were also done in such a way that word spread of what God had done. And that was a means of opening eyes to recognize that God is above all gods, that he is the creator of heaven and earth. And he is a living God, one who works directly for his people. Whereas the false gods, you have to go through priests, and then you don't know if they're going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed and be angry and not give you a blessing but a curse instead. But with the living God, they could see that he was real. Now, every Jordanite, not Jordanite, every Jerichoite knew of the God of heaven through his workings with the children of Israel. But not all of them were willing to give up their heathen ways and admit that the God of Israel was the true God. And so you have a battle being prepared. those who admit God is the true God, and those who refuse to admit, even though they know it in their hearts, that the God of Israel is the real God. So this battle between the children of Israel and between Jericho, you can liken to the battle between God and Lucifer, between the true God and all the pagan deities. And we already know who's going to win. But this report came back, and the spies didn't give a negative report or a discouraging report like the other spies had done when they spied out the land of Canaan 40 years earlier. These two spies related the truth. And everyone was encouraged. And they didn't waste any time acting on this courage. Next paragraph. Orders were now issued to make ready for an advance. The people were to prepare a 3-day supply of food, and the army was to be put in readiness for battle. All heartily acquiesced in the plans of their leader and assured him of their confidence and support. All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, did they really? No, only in some things. But anyway, they're putting the best spin on it here. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. So they gave Joshua their full support. And you can imagine that made Joshua feel really happy. And with the Lord at his side, he believed he was invincible. And with the Lord by his side, he was. It's the same with us, dear ones. If God be for us, who can withstand us? If God is on our side, no one will gain the victory.
Leaving their encampment in the acacia groves of Shittim, the host descended to the border of the Jordan. All knew, however, that without divine aid they could not hope to. Make the passage. At this time of year, in the spring season, the melting snows of the mountains had so raised the Jordan that the river overflowed its banks, making it impossible to cross at the usual fording places. God willed the passage of Israel over Jordan should be miraculous. Joshua, by divine direction, commanded the people to sanctify themselves. They must put away their sins and free themselves from all outward impurity. For tomorrow, he said, the Lord will do wonders among you. The Ark of the Covenant was to lead the way before the host. When they should see the token of Jehovah's presence borne by the priest removed from its place in the center of the camp, and advance toward the river, then they were to remove from their place and go after it. The circumstances of the passage were minutely foretold. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant.
Amen. So the Lord gave the command for Joshua and the children of Israel to go forward. Joshua arranged all the organization of how this forward advancement was to take place. God was to go before. The children of Israel were to follow. In other words, they were following God. But that wasn't enough. They had to put away their sins and free themselves from all outward impurity before they could enter into the promised land, before the Lord would work wonders among them. So God had told them to go forward. Now they were moving forward. But they had to be free from sin in order to have God working in their behalf and to bring them into the promised land. It's exactly the same today, dear ones. God tells us to go forward and overcome our sins. I will be with thee. I will lead thee and guide thee. Christ takes us by the hand and yokes himself with us and us with him, and we advance together. But we'll never make it into the promised land if we cling to our sins. We have to give them up. And not just our sins, but all outward impurity. So here we see that the law of God is to be followed in order to be free from sin, as well as the 8 laws of health to be free from all outward impurity. Both laws, the law of God and the law of nature, go together. Both laws are to be obeyed in order for us to have God working in our behalf and enabling us to go to the promised land. So here's the promised land on the other side of the Jordan River. But the Jordan is overflowing its banks. It's the spring season. It's the rainy season. Snow is melting off the mountains and coming down into the valleys through the Jordan River. A lot of water. And all of this mass of water is preventing their advancement into the promised land. And notice that it says, God willed it. Why? Why did God arrange the circumstances so that the children of Israel could see the promised land on the other side of Jordan, but here's this massive obstacle preventing their physical advancement?
I think it was to strengthen the faith of the Israelites, but also when the other countries heard about how God was helping the Israelites, then they started to know about the God of the Israelites, and it struck fear.
Amen. Indeed, it was a test of faith as well as evidence to the heathen that God would work in behalf of his people. So amen indeed. So this shows us that we're never going to make it into the heavenly Canaan without God's miraculous intervention in our lives. But we're never going to make it into heaven except by faith in what God can do for us. But in addition, we're not going to make it into heaven if we don't put away our sins and cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So it's a co-partnership. God working for us and us working in cleansing ourselves in obeying God. And together, we'll make it into the promised land. We can't do it without God, and God can't do it without us. It's a co-partnership. It's a union. It's a covenant. Are we willing to cleanse ourselves? To put away our sins? Are we willing to keep God's Ten Commandments and the Eight Laws of Health? Are we willing to advance when God says go forward? Acting by faith in what God can do for us? If so, we're advancing towards the promised land, step by step. If not, then we have ceased to advance, and perhaps we're going backwards towards the corruption that we've already left. So in an orderly fashion, the children of Israel are moving towards the Jordan River. And Joshua is making sure that they recognize that God is not going to work in their behalf if they're clinging to their sins. Continuing, at the appointed time began the onward movement. So this wasn't a haphazard crossing of the Jordan. It was very orderly. It was very organized. No confusion. At the appointed time began the onward movement. The ark, borne upon the shoulders of the priest, leading the van. The people had been directed to fall back so that there was a vacant space of more than half a mile about the ark. All watched with deep interest as the priest advanced down the bank of the Jordan. They saw them with the sacred ark move steadily forward toward the angry surging stream till the feet of the bearers were dipped into the waters. What do you think were going through the minds of the priests that were bearing the ark as they step by step got closer and closer to the angry waters and then actually put their feet in it? Amen. What's going to happen next? Is the water, what's God going to do to keep us from being swept away? But the point is, they continued advancing. They were obeying God and were trusting in Him to honor their faith. And it wasn't faith that was inactive, but it was a living faith. They didn't get to the water's brink and then sit down and expect God to work in their behalf. That would have been a dead faith. They advanced in faith, a living faith, trusting in God every step. But notice that God didn't part the waters while they were coming up to the river, he waited until their feet were in the water. And that's what God does to each one of us. He tests our faith in him. He waits for us to manifest complete trust in his ability to help us, to provide for us, to defend us, to protect us, to deliver us. But that's only if we advance on living faith. Let me give you an example other than this one here. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days are you to labor, but you're not to work at all on the seventh day Sabbath. You're to keep it holy unto God. Individuals have to work for a living. And at times, their supervisors or their bosses require them to work on Saturday. There's a test. There's a gigantic barrier preventing your advancement in walking with God, obeying his commands. You go to your boss, you say, you know, I cannot work on Saturday from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. I can't work because that is God's holy Sabbath day. And I worship him. I follow him. And the boss says, if you don't work on Saturday, well, then, you know, you're going to come up for disobedient hearings and perhaps be put on probation and you may lose your job. What are you going to do? You come right up to the day of Saturday that you have to work. Perhaps it's Friday going into Saturday. So he wants you to work through 9 p.m. on Friday, which the Sabbath would have already begun. What are you going to do? You going to put your feet in the water, trusting God to deliver you a living faith? And before the Sabbath comes, you clock out? Or if he wants you to work on the day of Saturday, you don't show up? You going to manifest living faith? If you do, God will provide, just as he did here for the children of Israel, as we will see. If you get to the water's brink and then you break down, God can't deliver you. You're no longer acting on living faith. You've manifest distrust in God's ability to deliver you, to gain for you the victory. It can be that same way with any other sin. And it's only by manifesting living faith that God can work in your behalf and gain for you the victory. So till the feet of the bearers were dipped into the waters, then suddenly, continuing, the tide above was swept back while the current below flowed on and the bed of the river was laid bare. So what happened? They put their feet in the water, fully trusting in God's ability to gain for them the victory, to preserve them, to work for his people. And then they watched in amazement, 2 to 6 million Israelites now, not just the priests there that had their feet wet. They all watched as the river ceased to flow and started to back upstream while the current continued to flow on, leaving the river bare. Never before had that occurred naturally. It was impossible to occur. No strong wind here. And in order to push back overflowing banks of the Jordan, it would have had to be such a strong wind that none of the Israelites could have withstood it. That's the miracle-working God. Amen. Excellent point. The comment says, how tender for God to stop the water when only their feet were in the water. Amen. I mean, he could have continued to test their faith until they were up to their chest. But with the waters being so swift, perhaps they would have lost their footing before they got there. So you're absolutely correct, dear brother. God was very merciful and tender-hearted that just their step into the water was enough to satisfy the test. Same with the Sabbath issue. There's been testimonies given where individuals have actually lost their job because they stood for God, but in a very short time, God provided a better job that paid twice as much for less work. So God did indeed deliver. He answered their living faith. And God will do the same for each one of us. So imagine, if you were there with the Israelites, imagine seeing this taking place. Imagine thinking about it that night, before you went to bed, or talking about it on the way. What a marvelous, miracle-working, compassionate God of Israel.
The more you test him and trust him, the greater are the miracles that he does.
Amen. Amen. And you can't outgive God or outlove God or outtrust God. Because the more you love him, the more he loves you in return. Amen. He's limitless, infinite. So the children of Israel watched the Jordan River back up and then continue downstream, leaving an empty space in between. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
At the divine command, the priests advanced to the middle of the channel and stood there while the entire host descended and crossed to the farther side. Thus was impressed upon the minds of all Israel the fact that the power that stayed the waters of Jordan was the same that had opened the Red Sea to their fathers 40 years before. When the people had all passed over, the ark itself was borne to the western shore. No sooner had it reached a place of security, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the imprisoned waters, being set free, rushed down a resistless flood in the natural channel of the stream. He is God, first to last, being with his people.
Amen. Now, you know, it wasn't just the Israelites that were watching what was taking place. I'm sure the people of Jericho had spies watching the movements of the Israelites, and they could help, or they could not help but notice what had taken place here. And try as they may, they could not attribute this to natural sources, to natural law. It was all supernatural. There was no wind. There was no earthquake. There was no debris that prevented the waters from coming down. As soon as the priest's feet were in the waters parted. As soon as the priest's feet were out of the bank, away from the natural course of the water at that point, the waters resumed. And you can imagine how much force all that backed up water had when it finally was released by God's power. Truly resistless. It was like a flash flood of gigantic proportions. And you can imagine the spies running back to Jericho and reporting this. So not only did God give the inhabitants of Jericho, this heathen people, plenty of time to recognize that their gods were false and that the God of Israel was real, they knew what happened 40 years ago with the Egyptians. They knew that God parted the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian host. They knew that God had worked in behalf of the Israelites in defeating Og, the king of Bashan, and Sihon. And now they knew that God had parted the Jordan River and allowed the Israelites safe passage, gaining the victory over that obstacle. And now they were in the promised land. God was over and over and over again reaching out to the heathen, witnessing to them that he is the true God. And thus, even the heathen are being tested by these miracles. Are they going to give in to the weight of evidence, give up their false gods and accept the true God? Or are they going to cling to their custom and tradition and deny the evidence and deny God? God is indeed tender-hearted and extremely merciful. He's unwilling that any should perish, including those who deny him. He gives them evidence upon evidence upon evidence to try and free them from custom and tradition, false doctrines, errors, so that they can accept the truth and the God of truth. And if they turn their heart against all evidence, what more can God do? So you can imagine the inhabitants of Jericho now have heard about this passage of the Israelites across the Jordan. Word has spread throughout the entire city. What are they going to do? Are they going to resist to the bitter end, or are they going to humbly submit? What are they going to do? Continuing. Coming generations were not to be without a witness to this great miracle. While the priests bearing the ark were still in the midst of Jordan, 12 men previously chosen, here's organization again, 12 men previously chosen, one from each tribe, took up each a stone from the riverbed where the priests were standing and carried it over to the western side. These stones were to be set up as a monument in the first camping place beyond the river. The people were bidden to repeat to their children and children's children the story of the deliverance that God had wrought for them, as Joshua said, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So the children of Israel were not to forget how God had worked in their behalf and gained for them the victory over this seemingly impassable obstacle that prevented their entering into the promised land. And every time they remembered it, every time they told it, and repeated it to their children, or heard it repeated, it just reinforced that God is indeed able to deliver and provide for the welfare of all his followers. And that could only work to build up their faith, their hope, their trust, and their love in God. It will do the same for us today. When we remember how God has worked in our behalf, and we tell others about it in testimonies or in repeating history, or in just thinking about it ourselves, it fills our hearts with joy. It increases our love and appreciation of God for taking the time to help us in that time of need. And we should not forget how God has led us in the past, because he will continue to do so in the future. As long as we walk by faith and not by sight, as long as we continue putting off our sins and following the 8 laws of health, God will indeed work for us. And when he does, we have the distinct privilege and honor of witnessing to others about our loving, compassionate God, that the people around us might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that they might come to honor the Lord God themselves. Praise God indeed, from whom all blessings flow. A comment in the room, it says, those stones that the 12 men took must have been large. And that's true. I mean, there weren't just pebbles that they took out. They wanted to make a monument out of the stones, and so they were indeed large. And that made the monument conspicuous to see. So, indeed. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, questions, any testimonies, any songs? Please feel free.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Hugs and love. As always, my testimonies are very important to me. Once again, I share what the Lord does for me. So maybe it will encourage somebody that maybe has a little doubt, or somebody that thinks that God has forgotten them. The only time God forgets anybody, if they think he does, is when they forget him. But God, even then, doesn't forget you. Anyway, we know that last week I had all these horrific storms and the electricity was torn out of my house, and good grief, you know, and like I said before, the more I try to go out into the world and put out my tracks and books and different things, seems that Satan wants to fight a little bit harder with me. But praise the Lord that God has given me the strength to not be pushed back or discouraged. And this week I kind of felt like a Job, not the patience of Job, because God's working with me with my patience, but with the situation, even with everything torn down and in a great shambles. And I was sitting here saying, God, what else? Well, this week I was blessed, and in a multitude of ways, but I was blessed by several different gifts of in different fashions. And I want to praise God that he always remembers me out here. I'm a little bit of nobody out here, but he never forgets me. And even if you're out there and you guys think that you're nobody or maybe just a little something, God doesn't forget anything. And he definitely doesn't forget me. And I want to praise the Lord. You know, I was able to buy groceries this week, which I didn't think I was going to have the money for because of, you know, all the bills that I had to pay for the electricity and so forth. And not that I would have starved, but on the same hand, God provided even that, even down to the special little things that I like to have. So I just feel so blessed, and mere words that come out of a human's mouth sometimes are just so insignificant to explain how somebody can feel. And sometimes I feel no matter what I say to God, and it's not in a prayer form, but even when I talk to him all day long, you know, people think I'm just a nut sometimes, but I feel like my mere words just aren't good enough. And I don't know any better way to tell God how I feel. But and for all the people that are listening, you know, God does provide. He always provides. It may not be what you want, or it might not come in the form that you think it should be, but God always provides. You know, and I'm always a firm believer, the little squirrel doesn't have a 9-to-5 job, but they always eat. So I'm praising God, and I'm also thanking the people that helped me through this time to have enough love and compassion for somebody like me out here. I want to thank them, and I just praise God for everything. So this has been my testimony, and ironically, when I was gifted some money to go buy groceries and things, it actually was not a day that I generally go out anywhere because I have no reason to go anywhere. But that also gave me the same reason. As soon as I got ready to leave, Then I said, well, this is not a day that I generally go anywhere. First thing I did is grabbed a whole bunch of steps to Christ, shoved them in my little bag that I had. And I said, well, you know what? I said, this is a win-win situation. God has provided me to go out and get a few little things. And on a day that I generally don't go out, it gave me a day to go out and put out all my books. So, praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm happy I'm here. Happy that God gave us another week to be here and share Sabbaths together. And I don't know any other place that I would rather be. So hugs and love to all. God bless.
Amen. Sad blessings, everyone. I too like to share a comment and also a song later. But first I want to share a comment. Well, as I was hearing mainly of the study of how the Israelites were cast on Jericho, how difficult the task it was, and even here in the part where Rob said that that many people may not believe. Many people these days have heard of God and all the miracles that he's done, like Rahab, for example. Both others may have known God, but they refused to trust in him. And I have a study in my school that's kind of regards that. While many people these days, some like us, know God and worship him, others, not so much. No, they rather worship the creations of God. And one of my lessons in science class involved the sun. I told you last Sabbath about the different things that God does depending on time. Well, this one depends about how people regard the sun. The part of the lesson was called People in the Sun. One of these was involved sun worship. It said here in this part that a false religious sun worship began a long time ago, even around in the biblical ages. People came to associate the sun with a growing season and with warmth. Sun worship was common among farming cultures in ancient Babylon, Egypt, Persia, northern India, and Scandinavia. Indians in North America also worship the sun. I even did research back then to see the names of these so-called sun gods. I heard the Egyptians named their sun god Thoth, and they even mummified a certain monkey called the Hamadryas baboon, since it kind of looked like their gods. They revered them, and even honored them like they would to a pharaoh. Also, the natives, is like the Aztecs, they worship a sun god called Tonatiuh. That was their sun god. The Mayans and sun god from is outside. Mom went down to get her. Anyway. They worship the creation of God instead of the Creator. To those who have discernment, the sun is but an object lesson about the real God. So as we can see in these lessons, the people like the Canaanites, for example, they may worship the creations of God and get a Creator himself. That's maybe like the way of is showing that they heard of God, but they don't show any reverence to him at all. Unlike the Canaanites, Rahab paid no heed to the same worship as them, since she and her family have heard of all the miracles that God done, such as how they delivered King Sihon, King Og, and the Amorites and the rest of the armies of Bashan into the Israelites' hands, and there was even ready to take down Jericho. This can also be a reminder of how we must persuade other people that, or that they shouldn't, in regard to the things that they see in nature, or even the things that they made with their own hands as their god, or their deity. They should praise the real God, the true God, such as Rahab has. They should know about it themselves. Too bad, alas, many people these days, a lot of people don't worship at the sun, and neither are there any kings who pay reverence to the sun at all, as a matter of fact. But they still regard other things as a god, like their jobs, money, and then they still have religions they still will pay attention to. My point is if there's anything anybody these days should know, is that they should worship the true God, not only just knowing him, but also loving him. After all, he is a God of love and care. And that's all I can share.
Amen. And that's indeed true, dear brother. And all of the custom and tradition and all the preconceived ideas and opinions and all the false and fanatical doctrines out there have to be pushed through in order to follow God by living faith. And God will indeed give evidence upon evidence to show the true path for the people to take. And he will indeed draw them through his love. So amen. And thank you, dear brother. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any songs, any other testimonies? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
I almost forgot. I also had a song that he said I'd sing in a few minutes after a comment. It is called "O Worship the King." Okay. O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, thy pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Little children of dust and feeble as frail, in God do we trust, never find him to fail. His mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer.
Somebody sent me supposedly a newsletter. It was more of a study. And it included this poem, which I knew the music to at one time. Let me see if I can do it for you. It's called "God Can." I can't tell when friends are true, but God can. I can't look inside of you, but God can. Can't turn darkness into light. Can't make mountains snowy white. Can't give blinded eyes their sight, but God can. Sometimes I wonder in his plan if he included me. And then I think of how one small acorn made the big oak tree. I can't make the morning dew. I can't make the skies of blue. I can't make a dream come true, but God can. I can't make a simple cloud, but God can. I can't feed a hungry crowd, but God can. I can't make the lame to walk. I can't make the dumb to talk. Can't put corn upon a stalk, but God can. Sometimes I wonder in his plan if he included me. And then I think how one small acorn made the big oak tree. God will give the strength we lack. Follow him and don't look back. Sometimes we can't see the track, but God can. I can't calm the raging sea, but God can. Can't make honey like a bee, but God can. I can't make the lightning stop. Can't make earth produce a crop. I can't make it rain one drop, but God can. Our great men showed their mighty power in land and air and sea. But science can't produce one thing that lives and dies or breathes. I don't know just what's in store. I can't see through heaven's door. I can't tell you anymore, but God can.
Amen. I love that song, dear brother, and thank you for singing it. It's the first time I've ever heard that. And praise God for inspiring the person to write that. It's beautiful. God indeed can do all things. Are there any other songs, any other questions or comments, testimonies? Please feel free. Now this hymn came to mind. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey.
I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how the wonders I displayed would turn my eye if I survey the ground. Or gaze upon us.
There's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. Creatures that borrow life from thee are subject to thy care. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there. And that's quite comforting, even if we're in the deep, darkest, dankest jail. Yet we know that God is right there with us. And we're not alone.
God can also read our minds and make things happen. This happened to me. A friend of mine had some little cherry tomatoes that came up every year. And I was hoping that some of those tomatoes that grew here year would be here this year, and I've been going around looking to see if they were coming up. found them, actually my sister found them, they were growing between the fence at my house and the house on the other side of the fence, and they had grown so much that they had climbed the fence and had come over the top, and there was something that was already ripe. Now, how's that for knowing what you want and giving it to you when you're just...
For those that weren't able to understand what Sister Joan was saying, is she had some very tasty tomatoes that a friend of hers gave her, and the plant had grown up and then had gone to seed, and she was hoping that some of the seeds would sprout and give her those delicious tomatoes once again, because her friend had passed away in the meantime. And she looked and looked and weren't able to find any of the tomatoes growing up, but her sister noticed that the tomatoes were on the other side of the fence towards the neighbor's property, but they had grown so big that they came up through the fence or over the fence, and there was a handful of ripe, juicy tomatoes just waiting to be picked. So she was praising the Lord that God had heard her prayer or read her heart and was able to give her that wonderful memory as well as delicious food. Amen. God is indeed wonderful. Praise his name. Well, that reminds me of a song. Wonderful, wonderful, yes, my Lord is wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Well, let us go ahead and have closing prayer. So let us please bow our heads and our knees. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being in control of all things, for being a miracle-working God that we can put implicit trust in, knowing that you will indeed deliver us, bless us, lead and guide us, and gain for us the victory through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you so much for giving us your word and revealing how you have worked for your people in the past when they have made themselves ready. Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to get ourselves ready and prepared, that you may be able to work miracles in our behalf, in blessing or in deliverance, gaining for us the victory, that we may each have a living testimony to give of your goodness and work in our lives that will be not just the means of lifting our hearts and leading us to love and appreciate you more, but may also be a living witness to others who will desire to have the same experience and relationship with you that we have. Thank you for being with us this evening. And again, thank you for your merciful kindness and tender love for each one of us. And thank you that we're one day closer to entering into the heavenly Canaan. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other songs or comments before we close tonight's meeting? Please go right ahead. May God bless dear ones, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you tomorrow. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Have not I commanded thee? strong and of a good courage. Be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua 1:9. God blessed her once.